This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It's December 19, 2014. We're here to exchange ideas and maybe respond to your questions. We love your questions. We're happy to say that we continue to grow our podcast subscribers and online listeners. We appreciate that. And of course, we also appreciate our radio listeners in California. And they are a very important part of the Invest Talk family. But I've been looking at the statistics for podcasters, and we've been growing that audience month after month after month, and kind of is a good feeling. And since we're live weekdays from 4 to 5 Pacific time, we can have a two-way conversation. We can talk. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART, and we'll be taking the first call in a couple of minutes, so just bear with me. Every Friday, I like to offer some highlights from our weekly premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday, e-newsletter. And I always start off with the current market condition, what's going on in the market and the economy. And I said most of the credit for this week's move up can be given to the Fed. Remember, they announced that the plan they were planning on leaving, they were pretty dovish about interest rates going into the new year. They weren't excited, even though the economy looks like it's getting stronger and stronger. They weren't, overly optimistic, thinking that, and investors and traders thinking rates are going to raise sooner than later, and they didn't give us that feeling. So that fed the bull market. But I also go into some depth about the weakness of the stock market in the first couple of weeks of December. Why was that? And then the strength we've just had this week. And I offer a lesson on why that might happen. Okay, so I think it's an interesting. Also, a couple stock ideas included a couple of big names in the newsletter, two that we own in our managed accounts. And under the portfolio manager section, I talked about the psychology. It's not necessarily about the numbers and economics. There's psychology that's involved in the market. And if you ignore that, you're going to have troubles understanding why the market moves the way it does. Because, there's fear and greed that drives it. What's the psychology? In the short term, I state that the market is emotional, but the long term, it's always rational. So I point out the tools investors could use to try to ferret that out. What's the short term irrational or emotional response, and whether that will be trumped long term by the rational response. That's in the newsletter. And, of course, on the Consumer Watch piece, I talked about payment plans that you automatically get renewed and you don't pay attention to them, and how that's not a good idea. That's our premium newsletter. It costs $9.95 a month. You get it every Friday, and you can try it for a month, and if you don't like it, you're out. It's okay. Now let's pick up the phones and get to the Q&A portion of the program. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now on our 24-hour listener line.
Hi, my name is India, calling from Chicago. My question is, as a recent college graduate with only a few $1,000s to invest, I just wanted to know where to start, whether I should start with mutual funds, a Roth IRA, should I invest in stocks. I also wanted to know if I should open up an E-Trade account or if I should speak with a financial or portfolio advisor in order to assist me. I look forward to hearing this on the podcast. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you.
No, you don't need a financial advisor when you're just starting out. I'm going to tell you, open up, if you're just recently graduating college and you have a job, you want to start with your 401k if you have one at work. If not, then you open up an IRA. And if you're young, I would suggest a Roth IRA at E-Trade. You would mention E-Trade? Okay, let's go with E-Trade. Open up a Roth IRA at E-Trade. Put the couple $1,000s inside it. Now, you have to have a job. You can't. You can't put money away unless you have a job. But you put a couple $1,000s in the Roth IRA and then buy an ETF, exchange-traded fund, that tracks an index, maybe the S&P 500. And that ETF symbol is SPY. You buy the SPY, and that's it. Just you keep doing that on a consistent basis, and you'll have lots of money by the time you retire. You don't have to hire someone like me. You don't. You know, especially if you're a long-term time horizon, you just stay with the market, you buy the indexes, and you'll be fine. Now, when you get to a certain size, you may want to hire a professional to help you, you know, participate in different parts of the market. You know, but people who go out and say, well, I'm going to buy Apple computer, they have no idea if that's good, bad, or different. They just hear what they hear on the news. You know, should you buy ExxonMobil? Well, I understand oil prices are going down. Should I buy oil? You don't, but see, if you don't, you're working and you have a life, you don't have time to keep track of that stuff. You have to be pretty involved. But you, if you're going to buy individual stocks, but you don't have to. You can buy indexes and not be so involved and just be a passive investor instead of an active investor. And you'll do fine long as you do it over long periods of time, years and years, not 6 months, a couple months. No, I'm talking 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You'll be fine. Try to not to get excited about the market going up and down. Just keep investing. Good question, though. Thank you for the question. It was good. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I'll talk about anything financial. The average investor believes this has been a particularly powerful bull market. Do you know that? This year. But it hasn't. It's way overstating what the market did this year. That's going to be one of our talking points. We're going to take a little closer look at the market. The problem is you listen to the headline news, and you know they pound the table. Oh, the S&P is a new high. The Dow is a new high. You know, and they pound it in your head, and you think, oh, great. And the market's not nearly as healthy. We're going to talk about it. I think it's a fascinating subject. Yesterday we didn't get to it, but I'm going to get to it today. This is 2 days in a row I haven't been able to get to it. The five questions to predict how rich you'll be. I'm going to get to it today, I promise. I'll make a special effort. And is a reverse mortgage good for retirement strategy? We were going to talk about that yesterday and didn't get to it, so I want to make sure I go over that as well. And what 2014's winning stock sectors tell us about 2015? What sectors really worked in 2014? Which ones didn't? I thought that would be something you'd be interested in, too. I was. Now, what did the market do today? The Dow's up 27, the S&P was up 9, the Nasdaq up 17, and I want you to know I was pretty happy about that, pretty impressed, because, you know, after a big day like we had yesterday, you expect some retracement, but you had follow-through days. Follow-through days generally is a bullish sign. Don't expect the market just to go up and up and up and up because it's down. Remember, though, yesterday the Dow was up 420. Today it was up 27. Well, that's still up 27 after the day it went up 400 points. You've got to be impressed with that. I think I kind of was that it was able to hold up. Remember, investors and traders, especially traders, they like to take their profits. They're going to say, well, I'm going to take profits. You know, I had a big up day yesterday. I'm going to take some profits. And they kind of tend to short-term pull the market back down. But that isn't what happened today. And there was no economic news out to make any difference. Kind of interesting. Over the last month or so, we've had quite an abundance of calls and emails asking about various big oil stocks. So we'd touch on the topic. It might be a good time to talk about oil positions and should you buy oil. And I have an info sheet about it. It went out to Invest Talk Insiders this week. You can get one too if you want it. All you have to do is, remember, it's for Invest Talk Insiders. If you want to become one, it's free. You could do that on investtalk.com. It's very, very simple. Very, very simple. There's not a lot of questions. I think there's one. You can become an insider. We'll send you these kinds of things, or we'll post them and tell you we posted them on our website. And you have to be an insider to see it. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk at 888-99-CHART. Joseph in the Bay Area is next, and then hopefully you. 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Joseph in the Bay Area. How you doing, Joseph?
How you doing, Steve? My question is, thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
It's very educational and interesting.
Thank you.
The volume for the past 2-3 days, and the New York and the Dow and all that, especially today, is extremely high, and particularly Apple. I have a question. Apple is it's not participating that much. Yesterday, a little bit. Other than that, it is not participating. Most of the technology is in a high participation. What is really the problem there?
Well, I don't know if you can say that Apple didn't participate, but you're right that it didn't participate as much as the rest of the market the last couple of days. So why not? I mean, it's a good question. Apple has great numbers. I mean, they're going to earn $63.5 to $66.5 billion in the Q4, and in the Q4 a year ago, that was $57 billion. So you know, very nice growth. Apple has never been, you know, it's kind of not even expensive for a tech stock for what it does. And it has been undervalued for quite some time, I think, and it continues to be so. Why? I don't know. Maybe because, Joseph, almost everybody who wants to own Apple already owns Apple. So who else is left to drive the price up? Now, I'll tell you this. I bought Apple, we get new clients all the time. And so I don't like to overpay, as you probably heard me say over and over and over on the radio. I don't like to overpay for a stock. So I've been waiting for a pullback, and Apple was like $105, $106, and it pulled back down to like, $100, $102. When it did that, I bought about 3 days to 4 days ago, I bought more Apple for the clients that didn't have Apple. So, but again, it only went up 4% to $104. It wasn't that big of a deal. Joseph, there's really no explanation other than maybe it's owned by everybody who wants to buy it, so there's not a lot of people out there pushing it up when it goes on sale. There's not a lot of people that want to buy more because they already have it. That's the only thing I can think of, because there's no reason not to own Apple. Thanks, Joseph. Sure. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, because remember, it takes money coming into stocks, into a stock, to push the price higher. People want to, and if you already own it, I mean, you're talking about 4,800 mutual funds already own Apple. 4,800 mutual funds own it. That's a lot of participation by mutual funds. I mean, a number of mutual funds, not necessarily percentage-wise, because only it's about 30, 31% owned by the mutual fund industry owns all the stock of Apple. But as far as those mutual funds are able to buy it, the ones that are not bond funds and able to small cap, those mutual funds are able to buy it, pretty much bought it. They own it. So new money has to come in to buy it and to push stocks up. And maybe there's just not a lot of new money out there. I mean, there is money out there, but they already own the stock. Everybody I talk to seems to own Apple. So who's going to be the new buyers? Push the stock price up. We want to hear your questions. Remember, it's not only about earnings and growth. You know, there's other things involved that you have to pay attention to when you're buying stocks. So if you want to give us a call, you want to talk about it, 888-99-CHART, you can reach us right now. You're listening to Invest Talk. We're always talking about money. Give me a call.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Steve has two new dates for our Southern California listeners for portfolio reviews, and you can see those listed on InvestTalk.com. You can also arrange to confer with Steve on Skype or conference on the phone. Just go to InvestTalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
888-99-CHART. What stocks need to melt up? That's our talking point today. It's an article by Michael Gayad. I like him. He writes nicely. I like what he writes. And he starts off his article, despite headline after headline seemingly every other day pronouncing that the stocks have hit a new high, the reality on the ground is that the majority of stocks have had a mediocre year in 2014. The average small cap stock is barely up. And there's been a lot of blood in the small cap arena. So it's kind of interesting. It's interesting because all you know, when you listen to the headline news, you think the market's doing great. This has been a pretty tough year for the market, really. But no one really pays that close attention to it. They just listen to what the S&P 500, the Dow, very large companies. What did they do? Well, that's where the money went, because everybody was searching for those dividends and everybody's looking for those safety issues, safety in big cap stocks. I hate to tell you this, but they're not. No stocks are safe. They're not. Look what happened in 2008 to the big caps. They didn't hold up. You want to know why I know that? Because I was very defensive, and I had a number of big cap stocks, defensive big cap stocks, and they still fell. Didn't fall as much as others, but it was having cash. The cash I had on the sidelines back in 2008 saved us. Not the big stocks, big defensive stocks. Since then, they've done very, very well, which is great. I'm not complaining about it. I'm not complaining at all. But I just want everybody to know that in 2014, it wasn't very good. If you owned oil stocks or any commodity stocks in 2014, you got crushed. You're in a lot of pain. You own utilities, you'd be very happy. And if you look at the market, it's the dividend-paying stocks that did the best, really. Big blue-chipped kind of stocks. They're the ones that did the best. And that's reflected in our income program, which, half that is bonds in that program and half is high dividend paying stocks. And those are usually the big blue chip stocks. And it reflects that this year, the performance in that portfolio was pretty good. Not great, but it never is going to be great because it's defensive. But the big stocks did pretty good. See, so it's interesting. He just goes on to say that for next year, 2015, he's saying that commodities have to rebound. He's not predicting they're going to be very strong, but they've been really, really oversold. So he thinks commodities need to rebound, and that will probably float up the rest of the market, not just the big cap stocks. And that's what his article is about. I do like his writing. He writes for MarketWatch, and I think about once a week he comes out with an article. And he's a money manager at a mutual fund. He's kind of a youngest guy. He's not old, but I think he writes very well, and he has some pretty good insights. So, Michael Gayed. Gayed spelled G-A-Y-E-D. Kind of like his writing. We're here for you, beginner experienced investor. If you're a podcast listener and you can't reach us during the live program, remember we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, you still can call us at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Sean in Columbus, Ohio. I was calling to get your thoughts on DLR, Digital Realty Trust. This is playing in the big data area, which seems to be the thing in electronics today. I appreciate your comments on it. Thank you.
Okay, DLR, Digital Realty Trust. Okay, it's a REIT, a real estate investment trust, that owns, acquires, positions, and manages technology-related real estate in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. It is very consistent. It's a very good company. I kind of like it. I've liked it for some time. We owned it. We owned it a couple of years ago. And I like the fact that insiders pretty much consistently buy the stock over time. They just got a new CEO. They're going to make $4.89 this year and then $5.10 next year. It's a 5% dividend yield. It's a 13 PE. The five-year average of PE is 9 to 21, so it's not overpriced. The bad thing is the return on equity is only 9%. I'd like to see it 17% or higher. That's my break. But doesn't mean I won't buy it because it's 9. It's just you always look for warts, and that's the wart I see. They have a pretty high debt because they're having real estate. That's not unusual to have a lot of higher debt. It's whether can they service the debt. And you'd have to look deeper in it than what I can see. Sales growth is 9-10%, pretty consistent the last year. Every quarter, 9-10% sales growth every quarter. I like the consistency. I really like the consistency of this stock. Earnings go up every year. Sales go up every year. Dividends pretty high. I mean, there's some really good things. So I like the stock. What's it worth? They're going to make $5.10 to $65 stock. So that's about the PE range it is right now. So at 13 or so. I think that's a reasonable price. So you have a little pullback. It went from 70 down to 64, and now it's at 66. This might be the place you want to pick it up. This might be it. 5% dividend. Can't complain about that. DLR, Digital Realty Trust. Kind of like it, everybody. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What financial do you want to talk about? I got lots of things I'm going to talk about. I do have an email stock that we're going to talk about, ABBV. You know who that is? This person wants to talk about it. And we're going to get to that the next sector of the. We got the five questions that predict how rich you'll be. We have the reverse mortgage. And what sectors were losers and what sectors might be winners next year? Sectors. Interesting. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. And I'm here to answer your money questions. You can reach at me right now. We're live, 4 to 5 Pacific time. Give me a call at 888-99-CHART. Chart 888-992-4278. I do have a call. I want to talk about the stock because David sent me an email today, and he wanted me to talk about his stock. He says, "Can you talk about ABBV? I have 100 shares bought in August at 52.5. Is this a keeper?" ABBV. Now, do you know what? If I gave out the symbol, I wonder how many people out there know what that is. It's AmVet. Develops Humira and other pharmaceutical and biological treatments for rheumatoid arthritis and Crohn's disease, that kind of, you know. So it's a medical company out of Chicago. And it's $107 billion size. I mean, that's a huge company. I bet you not too many people know what it is or who it is. I bet. So, anyways. How good is this company? He bought it at 52.05. Today is at 67. So he's got a pretty decent price in it. 52, he could have bought it this year back in May. He could have bought it in May and then in August went back down to 52. And even in October, it went back down to 52. So he could have bought it any time in that period or maybe even last year. That's possible too. It's going to make $4.26 next year after making $3.30 this year. It's a $67 stock. It's a little expensive, but the growth rate is decent. The sales growth rate is about 5 to 8%. It's actually picking up a little bit in most recent quarters. And earnings are doing very, very well. They're going to go up 30% next year. So I don't think you sell this stock. I think you keep. I think it's a keeper. Pays a 2.9% dividend right now. Mutual funds have been slowly buying it over the year. This is the big kind of little red flag that I worry about is the debt. They have a lot of debt. And so why do they have so much debt? Because it's not a kind of company that really should have a lot of debt. Do they buy other companies and took on the debt? What are they doing with all that debt money? Return on equity is very, very high. So it's very, very high because maybe they borrowed a lot of money. I don't know. I'd have to look at it deeper. That was my only worry about it. Fundamentally, other than that debt, it's very, very sound. So I need to find out what the debt before I can really give you a very complete answer. I can't give you a complete answer. From what I see, it looks pretty good to me. So I'd hold on to it. Now let's get back to the 24-hour listener line. Here's a question that came in between programs at 888-99-CHART. Will called us from Los Angeles.
This is my first time calling. Just heard about the show. And basically, I'm a young guy. You know, I'm about 27. And basically, I want to ask for someone who, you know, is in long run, as most likely not going to be working at a corporation, is going to be doing, you know, either sort of freelance work or someone working for himself, not going to have a corporate 401k. What kind of investment vehicle would you recommend for someone who's going to start out with maybe $2,000 or $3,000 that doesn't have the big enough amount of money to go to the big mutual fund companies? What kind of investment vehicle would you best advise for someone who wants to put $2,000 to $3,000 aside for the next 20 years, not touch it, and then see that money grow? Thank you.
And the answer is the same as for the young lady that called in earlier. What you do is you open up an E-Trade or Scottrade, one of the discount brokers. You open up a Roth IRA because you're young, and you put the money in a exchange-traded fund tracking an index. Now, there's a number of them out there. You know, there's the S&P 500, there's the Dow, there's a Russell 2000, there's the NASDAQ. I mean, there's unlimited number of indexes that you can buy the ETF. The S&P 500 is probably where you should start, and the symbol for that is SPY. So you put the money in an E-Trade, Scottrade, any of those discount houses, and you go and say, I want to buy $2,000 worth of SPY, which is the S&P 500. Leave it alone for a number of years, and you'll be fine. The average return will be 10% over the next 20, 30 years, 10% a year. Can't beat that. There's no other place that you can invest that money that would beat that. CDs, treasuries, doesn't matter. Bonds. Now, how can you beat it? Well, remember, an S&P 500 is a very diverse index, 500 companies. How can you beat it? You could buy a stock, individual stock, and roll a dice and see if that stock is a winner or does it go out of business. Because that's what you do when you buy an individual stock. No matter how good it is, it's a risk. And people say, well, how about like ExxonMobil or Apple? There's no risk there. That's totally wrong. There's lots of risk there. The sixth largest company in the world went out of business. And everybody who owned that stock lost every dime. Including the employees. Do you remember that stock's name? Do you remember the company? I don't know if I'm going to tell you. But it was the sixth largest company in the United States, and it went out of business. And because the CEOs and CEIOs and everybody was lying. The books were cooked. See? So you don't never know. That's why you don't buy one individual stock. It's more risky. You buy an index or you buy a grouping of, you know, 30, 40 stocks. See, that's how you do it. You got to manage your risk. Now, here's our Invest Talk definition of the day. Net income. You know what net income is? It's the most basic definition there is, referring to a company's total earnings or profit. Okay, simply put, net income is the difference calculated when subtracting expenses from revenue. All expenses? From revenue. How much money did you bring in the door? Detract all the expenses, including interest and taxes, payroll, cost of goods, everything. What's left over is net income. Okay, so this is, you know, that's one of the basic things you're looking at when you're looking at a company. How much money do you make? How much money does this company make? Is it growing net earnings every year? Now, if you have a question about investment or economic terms, you can ask us at 888-99-CHART, or you can look it up. I like Investopedia.com. That's where I look up stuff if I want to. Investopedia.com, great website.
Why not sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider? Steve has a new info sheet on investing in oil stocks. It's new this week for all InvestTalk Insiders, and you can sign up for free on InvestTalk.com.
Hey, this is Kyle calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. I listen to you via podcast. I have a question about a Mazor Robotics. Ticker symbol is MZOR. I was wondering if you think this might be a good long-term buy, maybe even the next Intuitive Surgical. Thanks.
No. How's that? Mazor Robotics. He's thinking, is this going to be a long-term buy? Will this be the next great winner? Well, you can't. It's a micro-cap stock, $119 million in size. They lose money every year. They have never made money. Develop surgical guidance systems and complementary products used in the orthopedics and neurosurgery fields. Of course, it could be a huge winner. That's possible. But its sales are like $4 to $6 million a quarter. It's tiny. It's microscopic. It's high risk. Can it be the next big, huge winner? Of course. Will it be? Probably not. Should you buy it? I wouldn't. Doesn't make money. You know my philosophy, MZOR, Mazor Robotics. My philosophy is you don't buy companies that don't make money. Why would you want to own something that doesn't make money? And I know the answer people give out. Oh, because they have the next cutting technology. Oh, they're going to have this or that. They have a great story to tell. I don't like story talks. I want earnings. I want sales. I want growth in earnings and growth of sales. I want profit margins that are growing. Now, positives about the company. There's no debt. That's good. Management owns 7%. That means management owns what? $6 million worth? $7 million? Yeah. Oh, well, okay. That's a good chunk, I guess. Mutual funds, hardly any participation, which is pretty normal. It's too small. So no, this is not the next Intuitive Surgical. Intuitive Surgical is a robotics, you know, Michelangelo system of operations, and just took off and is doing very well, makes lots of money. And, you know, is this the next one? Well, who knows? I wouldn't take the risk of that. You could. But what you would do, if you want to take the risk with this stuff, make sure you do it with money you don't mind losing all of it. Don't mind losing all of it, because you could be a huge winner or you can lose every dime. So what were the winning sectors in 2014? What does it look like for 2015? Just so you know, in last year, you could have bet if you're in the best sectors, the best sectors went up 27%. The worst sectors, and this year, we're talking about this year, worst sectors were down 11%. Okay, so in this past year, the best sectors were utilities and healthcare. Energy, consumer discretionary, materials had the biggest drop this year. Now, so what should you do next year? Well, Merrill Lynch is suggesting underweighting utilities. Remember, utilities had the best year this year. They're telling you underweight utilities for next year. They are saying the dividend paying stocks have become relatively expensive in 2014. And that's true. The big blue chip stocks are kind of expensive relatively. But you could have said that in 2012 as well. And they still ran up this year. One of these years are not going to do so good. So healthcare was best, utilities number two, tech was up number three. We're talking about the best. Consumer staples number four. And then when you get down to industrials, down 8%. Consumer discretionary down 5.5%. Materials down 5.1%. Energy down 11%. And that's how the market. So the market did not have a great 2014. Don't think in terms it did. It did not. A lot of sectors were under a lot of pressure. Let's go to VJ in Fremont. How you doing, VJ?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah. What's your views on the Facebook at this point? I think it's hovering around its all-time high.
Well,
and what do you see coming in 2015? It makes money on your philosophy.
Oh, yeah. It makes money, and BJ, it grows its money. It grows its sales. So sales are growing 50 to 60% a quarter. Okay, which is very good. Earnings are going to be up 90% this year and up 13% next year. So earnings are slowing down, but they're still growing. The growth of earnings is slowing down. Not earnings, but the growth of earnings. Now, this is the issue. Facebook, everybody knows who Facebook is. FB is the symbol. Their P.E. ratio, they're at $79.88 stocks, and they're going to make $1.91 next year. That means the P.E. is going to be about 40. Now, their five-year range for Facebook, and has not been around 5 years, but close to, 32 to 88, and it's going to be 40 based on next year's earnings. So if they can maintain that growth, VJ, then this is a pretty reasonable price right where it is. Okay? Don't think Facebook's doing great. And it does meet my philosophy of make sure you buy stocks that make money and don't overpay. So I'm saying that if they can maintain a 50% growth rate, I don't have a problem paying a 40 PE for a stock because they're growing so much. So VJ, I kind of like Facebook in this area. I would love for it to pull back somewhere and be, you know, give us a better bargain, but I don't know if it's going to do that. I don't know.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. That's Facebook, everybody. Is a reverse mortgage a good retirement strategy? And I'm going to tell you right off the bat that I don't think it is. But we're going to talk about it in a little more detail. And I want to make sure I get the five questions to predict how rich you will be. Five simple questions. How you answer them, yes or no, predicts how rich you're going to be. We have two new dates for portfolio reviews in Southern California. I'll be in San Diego January 13th at the home office at Dana Point on January 15th. This is a good way to start the new year. If you want to meet with me, I take a look at your current accounts. I offer some suggestions. You know, talk about our portfolios, or how we do and what we do. Remember, I buy the exact same thing you do. All my clients and I are on the same side of the ledger. I buy the same stocks, same price. I sell them the same price, same stocks, the same percentage of ownership. Same thing. And I put all my money at risk, not just some of it. Anyways, so if you want to schedule a meeting, I'd love to talk to you. Also, if you're out of the area, we still can do a meeting via phone, via Skype. I'm up in the Bay Area all the time. You tell me. Be happy to sit down and talk to you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278 is our number. And, you know, let's talk about the reverse mortgage real quick before the break if we can. The reason why I don't like reverse mortgage as a retirement strategy, and I do think it is appropriate for certain people, but the reason I don't like it is because it's expensive. They're expensive to have a reverse mortgage. It's a loan that you never have to pay back. It's expensive. There's lots of costs, upfront costs, that you don't have to pay. They'd be happy to roll it into the amount they're going to give you. But doesn't mean it's not expensive. And it should be only used as a last resort, reverse mortgages, a last resort. You have a lot of wealth tied up in your house. You don't have a lot of liquidity. You're 75, 85 years old, and you want to stay in your house, and you don't have a lot of money. Well, that might be a solution. But it's pretty specific to a certain set of circumstances, okay? You've heard us talk about our new 401k solution. We've talked about it for a while. Give us an email request, and we'll give you some information about it. This is Steve Peasley.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. We'd like to think of InvestTalk as a forum that's always open to your questions and ideas, too. You can share them with Steve and Justin anytime by phone at 888-99-CHART. And remember, we're live 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. Or connect on InvestTalk.com. Click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin.
Let's talk to Mark in Mountain View. How are you doing, Mark?
Hey, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just like to know what's your take on the RENN, R-E-N-N. It's been jumping to, I think, all-time low, and now it's starting to go back up a little bit.
Well, let's take a look at it. R-E-N-N, RENN, Inc. It's out of China.
Yes, sir.
It's a Chinese operator of a social networking platform enabling users to communicate and share information via RENN.com. It's a $1 billion company. Only does about $21 million in revenue. The problem you have with them is that a year ago they were doing $41 million a quarter in revenue, and now they're doing $21 million. They've gone down 50% in revenue in a year. And the stock has lost money for the last 4 years in a row. And it's going to lose more money next year. That's why the stock is at $2.75. Something's wrong with this, Mark. Something's wrong with the company. Something is telling me that you get out.
Oh, I see. No, I don't have any. So I should not buy any at this moment.
No. Remember, it is a Chinese operator of social networking, right, which is a hot area of the market, even China, United States, you name it. And how come their revenue is going down 50%? How come they're losing money 4 years in a row and increasing their losses? Something's not right about this. Now, management owns 38%, and they have no debt. Those are the good things about it. But what is wrong? Something's not right, Mark. I would avoid it. I would avoid it.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, thank you very much. It's the equivalent of Facebook.
Yeah. But then why isn't it doing what Facebook is doing? Why isn't revenue jumping 50% like Facebook? You see, there's something missing here. I wouldn't try. Something's not right. I stay away from that.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Never, ever, ever, ever buy companies not making money. Now, I say that, but you can, if you do it with money, you don't mind losing 100% of it. The chances are very high that you'll lose every dime when you buy a company that doesn't make money, especially a small cap company. This is a small cap at $1 billion. Not even sure why it's $1 billion. I mean, it's not worth it. These five questions predict how rich you'll be. Will you be rich or will you struggle financially? How you answer these five simple questions today may give you the answer. You get 1 point if you answer the question yes or it's a yes or no. First question, did you save money last year? 1 point if you say yes. Did you save money? Did you miss any payments on any obligations last year? If you say no, you get 1 point. If you missed any payments, you get nothing. You don't get a point. Did you have a balance on your credit card after the last payment that you made? Do you have a rolling debt? If you answer no, you get a point, 1 point. If you have rolling debt, get nothing. Number four, including all of your assets, was more than 10% of the value in liquid assets? So if you have all the assets, house, cars, everything, how much cash do you have? If you have more than 10%, give yourself a 1 point. And the last question, is your total debt service principal and interest less than 40% of your income? So all your debt, you're paying car payments, house payment, all your debt that you borrowed money on, is it less than 40% of your income? If it is less than 40%, give yourself a point. The average score, so that's 5 points, right? The average score, 3.8. I'm sorry. The mean is 3.01. 3.01. There it is. 3.01. And so if you're above 3.01, chances you becoming financially independent and wealthy are much higher than if you have a score lower than 3. 3 or lower. Not good. There you go. Simple, simple, simple. Before we close for the hour, be sure to sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. You can access a whole list of helpful webinars on all kinds of investment topics. It's all there. It's ready for you anytime you want. Sign up for free at InvestTalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, my firm, thanks for listening. And we'll hope you'll be here next week on Invest Talk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.